The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hour number two, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe with you. We're live here at Patron Platinum Club, Predators and New York Rangers tonight here at Bridgestone Arena. That'll have a 7 o'clock puck drop. Pete and Hal will have your call on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6. Don't forget, 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in. Their next match is Saturday as they take on Philadelphia. Pre-game begins at 6:15. The match begins at 6:30. Don't forget, our 102.5 The Game Preds Game Day broadcast is brought to you by Hermitage, the design center, their professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and baths. On the web, go to hermitage.com. Looks like Amani Hooker will be in about 15 minutes, so. A little premature on my part.
That's all right. Looking forward to talking to him.
It happens.
Yes. Yes, it does.
A lot of folks.
Looking forward to talking to him. And we'll ask him about going up against Travis Kelce and what that will be like. But it was big to have Amani Hooker back on the field because I really like him. I think he's a talented player and having some help back there with Kevin Byard, the safety position, I think, is a good thing. So be good to talk to him. And I'm also curious, how is Vrabel today on the crusty meter? Where is he at?
Like I said yesterday when we were at Nissan Stadium, he tends not to really change. I kind of feel like whatever lane he starts in at the beginning of the week is kind of how he finishes up the week. I kind of feel like he doesn't go back and forth. So if he starts out – short, a little bit, angry, a little tension, a little edgy like he was last week. He typically stays that way. This week he's been more, loosey-goosey. Yeah.
And actually he's not speaking today. It's the coordinators.
Fun-loving.
Right.
Just fun-loving. Things, we usually say about Mike Vrabel. Just swell.
Yeah.
It's another good word. Swell.
He's chill.
Chilled.
But yeah, no, today's coordinators, so I guess we won't hear from him today. I'm so thrown off on days because of Monday night.
You're right. This is not Wednesday. Yeah, this is Thursday.
This is Thursday.
Yeah, I should probably look at,
But we will hear from a monster truck, so that's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I should. No, the days must be running together.
I'm so thrown off because of the Monday night game. Like, Tuesday felt like Monday.
I literally looked at that and was thinking today was Wednesday.
Yesterday felt like Tuesday. Like, it just, I'm off, so you're not the only one.
So we discussed yesterday, so what are the things, and we'll talk with Amani Hooker here coming up in about 10 minutes, some things that the Titans can take advantage of, because you turn around, you play Buffalo on Monday Night Football, you beat, which most people have deemed, even though Arizona's undefeated, as the best team in the NFL to that point, and you beat them, and then your reward is you get turned around, and I know this is the NFL, there's really no weeks off, but we all can look at the schedule and say, if you're playing the Jags or if you're playing the Chiefs, one's going to feel more like a little bit more challenging than the other, if we're just being honest. Kansas City is a team that has had their issues. But I don't think anybody's writing them off. Nobody's hitting the panic meter like, Kansas City's overrated. They won't be there. Maybe people feel that way. I don't get the vibe. I haven't seen anybody doing that. They've gotten off to a pretty slow start, sluggish start. And to this point, the reasons why, I brought this up yesterday, is one, their defense has been not average. It's been below average. It's been poor. Their defense has not been good. Their defense has not been good against the run. Oh, by the way, what's the Titans' strength? That should be something you should be able to take advantage of. What is the other thing that Kansas City's been doing to this point that has burned them, that has not helped them with their slow start? They are giving the ball away at an alarming rate.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes is throwing picks. They're fumbling the ball. They lead the league in turnovers. So they're having turnover issues, and they're having issues on defense. That sounds like a pretty good recipe to me.
Yeah.
That sounds like something you should be able to take advantage of. It sounds like something you should be able to make work in your favor. They've been giving the ball away a lot. In fact, it tends to come in bunches. The games that they've done it, they usually give it away multiple times. That's how it's worked. It hasn't been spread out. They've played six games, and he's thrown eight picks. And it's gone over, we looked this up yesterday. Wasn't it like two picks a game?
Yeah. Yeah, he has. I mean, I think there's only, let me pull it back up here. But, yeah, he had two picks in the last two games. I know. He had two against Buffalo, two against Washington. Before that, one against Philadelphia, two against the Chargers, one against Baltimore, none against Cleveland. So, I mean, he's throwing it away to the other team. That's – you got to make – this. I hear Floyd Reese in my head. Just need somebody to make a play, and that's what they're going to have to do. It's like I said earlier. I don't think you're going to take Kansas City completely out of this one. You're not going to just run away with it. But if you can make a couple plays here and there, make them make some mistakes and then capitalize on those, get points off those mistakes and answer when they score, when they get you, then I think you can take this in a shootout just like you did Monday night. Because this team right now is certainly, you know, Kansas City is not at the level of Buffalo. You've laid out all the issues that they have. But I think the Titans coming off that win with that confidence, granted a short week, I think they can take advantage of that to try and get that victory. I saw an interesting stat that the Titans sent out. I don't know if you've looked at this yet, but it's based off Monday night. Under Mike Vrabel, so since 2018, come from behind victories in the fourth quarter when trailing by seven or more points. Did you know that Mike Vrabel's Titans lead the league with seven?
I can't say that I'm terribly surprised by
that. Green Bay is second with five. But they've done it twice already this year.
Yep.
With Seattle and then Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they were trailing 21-13 at the start of
the
fourth
Ravens.
Quarter to Baltimore.
Yep.
And they won.
That was the game in Baltimore.
Yep. Same in Houston here. They were trailing 36-29, and they won.
That was the OT game, right?
Yep. Four of these are OT. Four of these they've won in OT.
Four of them are – well, the Baltimore game was OT.
Yeah, and Seattle was OT. Houston was OT.
Didn't Derrick Henry run it in for a touchdown in OT, right?
Yep.
Is that how they beat him?
Before that, 2019 – you remember this one? November 10th, 2019, here.
November 2019, here.
They're losing 29-20 in the fourth quarter.
Would that be the Kansas City game?
That would be the Kansas City game. Yeah. They win that game 35-32. 2018, they're trailing 22-13 in the fourth to the Jets. Win that game 26-22. And then Philadelphia losing 17-10. Win it 26-23 in overtime. So seven times trailing by seven or more points, Titans under Mike Vrabel have come back and won.
Here's another interesting stat. Most sacks in the league in the regular season and playoffs since week 17 of 2020. So we're basically going to the end of last year, their season, all the way through the first six games of this year. Who's got the most sacks in the league?
Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett is second with 9 sacks.
Huh.
So it's a regular season game, and then if you had any playoff games, right? So
yeah.
Garrett did it in 9 games. Remember, they lost to Kansas City in the playoffs. So 9 games total, 9 sacks.
Is it Landry?
Harold Landry III, 8 games, 9.5 sacks.
Wow.
Harold Landry leads the league. And I realize you're cherry picking your when your stat starts, but at from the last week of the season and the playoffs of last year,
I mean, he's been,
and this season, Harold Landry leads the NFL in sacks
because he has 6.5 already for this year. So he's already surpassed last year. I think what is it? 9 is his career best, or 9.5?
9.5.
Yeah. 9.5. Yep. I feel pretty good about him surpassing that. I mean, he's going to get double digits. Wow.
And by the way, this year, Seattle game, he didn't even have a sack.
No.
That's the only game he doesn't have a sack in that time span. All right, we'll come back, and hopefully we should have Imani Hooker on the other side. But first, Chase, you're going to tell everybody about BetMGM.
I sure am, because you know I love BetMGM, and I love to help make you a winner. So this is what you need to do. Sign up. You can enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet because they're welcoming you to Showtime with the Lock of the Year tonight. All you have to do is place a $10 moneyline wager on either Denver or Cleveland. If either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. I do all of those things. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if either Denver or Cleveland scores a touchdown. Nothing beats a W at BetMGM. New customer offer paid in free bets. You must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Thursday. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe here with you. Willie will join us in a bit. We're here live at the Patron Platinum Club inside Bridgestone Arena. Predators hosting the New York Rangers tonight. But let's head over to where we were yesterday during our show. We were doing our show at Nissan Stadium. But we'll go over to the Titans facility. They'll be playing at Nissan Stadium as they host the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday, coming off that huge Monday night win over the Bills. And Titan safety Imani Hooker is indeed on the line with us. Imani, how you doing? Congratulations on the win on that big stage Monday night.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. It's been a great week. Everybody's in a good mood. Is everybody in a good mood over in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, everyone is, but, you know, it's a new week, a new challenge, so we're ready to attack it.
It doesn't last very long, does it?
No, you get about 24-hour rule.
Is the short week, you know, it's real easy. Everybody brings that up, Imani. You know, oh, the Titans are going to have a short week because Buffalo was going into their bye week. Is that a big to-do about nothing? Because we were actually just discussing this during the break. You guys have actually been really good under Mike Vrabel coming off a short week. Your record is 6-2. So do we make a big to-do about that? Or as a player, how tough is it to turn around and try to get your body right and your mind right in a short amount of time?
Yeah, like you said, it is a challenge, and we have been successful. But I guess for us, it's just, you know, making sure we can get back healthy. And, you know, we're not going to be able to have those live full-speed reps like we usually get during the week. So we got to make sure that we stay on top of it and get some extra film work in and, you know, make sure we're being a professional and doing our job.
Buffalo's offense was challenging coming into that game. You guys knew that. Take us through the end of the game. I mean, wow, it was fun to watch from where we were, but what about on the field to get a goal line stand like that and to preserve a win? What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, we, like you said, we knew they were, you know, a great offense coming in, and you know, they drive it down on us a couple times, but we didn't break as a defense, and you know, we stood tall in the red zone and the goal line, and you know, as a team, we knew that's what we pride ourselves on as a defense is, you know, bend but don't break, and you know, we just showed and came out with the victory.
We knew, because we had talked about it last week, and obviously you guys knew it too, but still, he was an MVP candidate going into that game on Monday night, Josh Allen, but he's not afraid to hold on to the ball, and Patrick Mahomes, your next quarterback, isn't afraid to hold on to the ball either, but you know, both of those quarterbacks use their legs. How difficult does that make life for you guys, Imani, when you've got guys, on one hand, you love to hear that a quarterback is willing to hold on to the ball for a while, but they're also very mobile, and usually it means because they're out there scrambling around just creating an extra second or two.
Yeah, it's very tough. It's not easy, especially, you know, when they can throw the ball too, because you know, now they're just extending plays, and a 3-4 second play turns into 6, 7, 8, 9, and, you know, those routes that are short convert to vertical routes. So, you know, we've got to make sure we stay on top of our guys and, you know, make sure that we're on body if we are man-to-man.
Hey, you played in great atmospheres at Iowa in college. Last season, you guys didn't really get that luxury. Nobody in the league did. It was a different year. How nice was it, or how nice has it been to have the atmosphere back for you guys, and especially these home games, and especially a game like Monday night, and a game also this Sunday that I suspect, again, will be another great atmosphere?
Yeah, I mean, we've been loving it. You know, as players, it just brings us, you know, brings excitement to us. It brings excitement building up for the game. You know, it makes us go out there and want to play, you know, hard, not just for ourselves, but, you know, for the people that came out and showed out. So from a player's perspective, you know, we love to see it, and we hope it continues, and we hope we can keep winning and bringing fans out.
We're speaking with Titans' Imani Hooker. We were talking earlier on the show. It's no secret. It's not the challenge that faces you guys. It's the challenge that anybody faces when they take on the Kansas City Chiefs. A tight end like Travis Kelce, who's been basically the best tight end in the league for the last 4 or 5 years. What challenges, Imani, when you see him on film, and you guys have gone up against him before, what challenges does he create?
You know, he's a matchup issue. I mean, he's fast, he's strong, he has route craft, and he has great hands. And then after the catch, you know, he's able to make guys miss, you know, stiff arm, hurdle or spin, whatever. So he's just overall just a great tight end. And, you know, as a defense, we got to make sure that we can limit him and number 10 catches and catches and routes.
Route crafts. I love that word.
Yeah,
I'm going to steal that from Imani. I like that
one.
That's
good. Imani, you know, it's no secret. Your secondary group has faced some injury. I mean, you missed 4 games, and you all answer that call. What is your confidence level right now of just knowing that you have the next man up, whether it's a corner or somebody stepping up at safety, and also knowing that you have KB that's been able to take the ball away a few times?
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of confidence in, you know, our whole group, not just, you know, the guys that are out there starting the game. We know guys that can, you know, come in there if someone goes down, they're going to do the job, and they're going to give full effort. So, and then, like you said, KB's making plays. So, you know, if we can just keep that up, and then other guys along the group can do the same thing, it'll help the whole defense and the team.
What, as still a young player, what have you learned from Kevin Byard and being able to play next to him?
Just the concepts of, you know, routes, and then, you know, where I can make plays. You know, not just doing my job, but how can I, you know, get out of – how can I help someone else by making a play? Or, you know, not so much getting out of my role or out of my job, but just finding play call-ins or situations where I can go help and put myself in position to make plays.
Your defense as a whole, how do you feel like – you know, your confidence as a group is right now, as, you know, you mentioned earlier, making the big stop on the goal line with Jeff getting in there, winning the game Monday night. But just throughout the season so far, how do you feel like confidence-wise you guys are?
I think we're very confident. I mean, I don't think we even put our best stuff on film yet or on the field. So, you know, we got a lot more to give. But, you know, as a whole, we like where we're at right now, and we just hope to continue that.
Does that stuff just, you know, I think people don't realize this, that stuff takes time. I mean, Shane is now the defensive coordinator by title. I know he's been there. He worked, you know, basically in that role last year. But, you know, that it takes time for things to gel. And so is that kind of what you've been seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think we had a great training camp, and then great, you know, practicing before the season started. So that helped, you know, building confidence just in, you know, with Shane and then with our defense as a whole. And then, like you said, if guys go down, we have mix and match and, you know, different rosters and depth charts as well.
What has Jim Schwartz brought to the defense?
Just the knowledge of the game. You know, he knows football. He knows what he's talking about. And he just helps guys out wherever he can. And, you know, I think he's really been a great asset to us.
Well, Imani, best of luck against Kansas City on Sunday. It's going to be a great atmosphere, like you said, for sure, as this team is rolling right now, coming off a big win. So appreciate the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You guys have a great week.
You too. Imani Hooker, Titan safety, joining us here on the program as they will take on Kansas City, as we have been talking about on Sunday. And, you know, as I brought up earlier, Imani Hooker, he missed those four games after he got hurt against Arizona and was on IR. They activate him. And, you know, I think that he's a presence they got to have out there on the field. It can certainly help them out, help that secondary out that has been beat up. And so I think having him back was certainly huge, and appreciate him joining the show. We will step away, come back with more. Willie should be joining us in just a little bit as we are live at the Patron Platinum Club here at Bridgestone Arena. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Let there be light at the Patron Platinum Club. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Special thanks to Imani Hooker for joining us. Good stuff from him. We're having our game, a Preds game day broadcast. Yes, at Patron Platinum Club. I said let there be light because we figured out how to turn up the lights. It was a little dim in here.
It was.
I mean, it was nice mood, but it's just, you know, Chase and I. So I was like,
yeah,
you know what?
We don't need the mood lighting.
We don't need the mood lighting. We don't need candles and mood lighting. Let's turn up the lights. And we
but
did so.
I'm not afraid to snoop around and find a light switch or a control panel, and I found that, and we're good.
Speaking of lights, this broadcast is brought to you by The Hermitage.
Oh, there you go.
The Design Center. The professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and baths. On the web, go to thehermitage.com. Join stars for this year's Cherish the Night Unplugged event. That'll be on November 3rd at Marathon Music Works. This year's lineup will be Gordon Kennedy, Charles Esten. All right, Charles Esten.
I like him.
And Danny Flowers with the special presentation of the Troy Gentry Compassion Award to the Young Fables. To learn more and to register, go to starsnashville.org. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Let's hear from Titans special teams coach Craig Aukerman.
When teams start to do that, but it's still not anywhere where it needs to be. 23.8 is not good enough. We need to get that thing out past the 25 at least.
Where you sent Rodgers and Batson out there, it looked like Batson tried like a pump thing. Is that supposed to be a
throwback
play?
You know, it could be. It's a little thing where we could end up throwing it, or it could be a decoy, which is what happened. You know, just trying to get some guys to slow down on their kickoff team and maybe see some stuff, or being able to throw it. You know, it's just all things that we're looking for to help out our return team as much as we possibly can.
Does Bullock do the right thing there, I guess, and going after the return guy hard, and how is he doing?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Did Bullock do the right thing going hard?
Yeah, you know, Randy understands that he has to do everything that he possibly can to get the returner down. You know, maybe not the most athletic play for him, but, you know, we try to get him. He knows the rules where he can't go low on a block. But he's got to do everything that he possibly can to get it down, or at least try to slow it up. So we give him credit. He tried. In fact, he even tried to pull a vet move and try to draw a foul, which is what he's got to do no matter what. So, you know, I'm always happy with Randy trying as best as he possibly can. We might have to work on a little bit more tackling with him when that's concerned.
Do you give him credit, though, for selling that foul?
I mean, it was a great acting job by him. He's just got to land a little bit softer. But, you know, we got to try to get him close to the sideline, try to push him out if we can, or, you know, make him cut it back up where all the help is going. So, you know, we'll continue to work with him on that stuff. And, you know, if he can make a tackle, that's great for us.
Does the lateral have to be an actual lateral next time? Yeah. Try that on a punt?
Obviously, we did not do it as well as a Music City Miracle. you know, when they threw the ball back to Kevin Dyson. But, you know, it was something for us to try to provide a spark. We saw something on film that we thought we could, you know, get accomplished. We've got to do a much better job on the outside of stopping their gunner. We got the look that we wanted to, but, you know, Chester didn't have enough time to actually, you know, throw the ball like he wanted to. You know, he felt rushed, and there he ended up throwing it forward. You know, that's something that we'll continue to work on and learn from. You know, but hopefully it works the next time if we end up running it.
Feedback from Dyson on a regular basis. Have you heard from him after that one? Or?
No. Actually, our talks are usually about our kids. You know, I'm sure I'll get a comment from him about it maybe here soon. My boy plays here on Saturday, so I'm sure Kevin will end up talking to me about that they ran it a little bit better than we did on Monday night. So we'll see.
There are two in the league in punt return average, and I guess is Hardman the main reason for that, or what do they do so well to put him in a position to be successful?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Mecole Hardman's a dynamic returner. He gets to full speed as quickly as possible, and he does a good job catching it. But they're also well coached. Dave's done an awesome job, you know, wherever he's at, whether it's Chicago or Kansas City. You know, he gets those guys blocking up front. They do a great job on the gunners outside. He likes to double press those guys on the outside. So they do a really good job of holding those guys at the line of scrimmage. And then when you give Mecole Hardman, you know, some space, he's going to take advantage of it. So we got to do a great job with our kicks this week and with our coverage of staying in our lanes, because we can't let Mecole, you know, whether it's getting out to the field or to the sideline, we can't let this guy get started.
Brett coming back.
When Brett comes back, you're probably going to go back to him. But is kicker setting up a little differently with how well Randy's doing?
Yeah, Randy's doing a really good job. You know, as far as kickoffs, obviously field goal wise, you know, he's brought a little bit of stability to it right now because he's doing a good job. So we feel real comfortable with Randy right now, and hopefully, you know, he'll continue to kick and. We'll see how that leads us, you know, in the future.
With Brett coming back from COVID and the injury, like, when's the last time you've seen him do anything? And are you antsy that you maybe haven't seen him kick the ball in person in a while?
Sure. You know, it's been a while, you know, with the injury and stuff like that. And, you know, we've always been in constant communication with Brett and seeing how he's doing and how he's feeling. And hopefully we get him out here at some point in time and see what he can do. But here's the one thing I do know. Brett has been doing this for a very long time. I don't know if it's like riding a bike for him, but this guy's a professional. He's going to understand what needs to happen and his technique and his form, and I'm sure he'll let us know how he feels when he does that. But we're just excited when he does come back for him to punt for us.
How much does a shoulder affect a kicker? Kicker's ability to kick?
You know, that was something that we asked Randy at the game, and Randy just gave me the thumbs up and says, I'm kicking. And, you know, when you get a guy like that who doesn't matter what happens to him, I'm going to kick, you know, it makes us feel good. But, yeah, it all affects. I mean, obviously people, oh, well, if his leg's not broken, he can still kick. There's a little bit more to it than that. You know, it's all hips, body, you know, shoulder rotation, things like that. You know, we'll end up seeing what Randy can do. He feels well right now, so we'll see what he can do today.
You don't want to see anybody get hurt about how much you hate him for Cam, and did you get a chance to maybe – what have you had to say to him maybe once you had the injury?
I mean, it's just tough. Anytime you see a guy go down – it's rough because you know the work that they put in, whether it's in the off season, training camp, during the regular season. It's tough on those guys, you know. And you know, after the game, you know, it was just you feel devastated for a guy like that. But we're just hoping his rehab goes really well. You know, hopefully he can come back from it, which I know he does, because he's just gonna work his butt off to get back at it. But you feel for him, obviously.
There you go, Titan special teams coach Craig Aukerman today talking with the media in preparation for the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Of course, the good news is it seems like Brett Kern is indeed going to be back in the mix, and they need their all-pro punter back out there. We'll see how he is. He's been dealing with COVID and, oh, by the way, a groin issue. Was it a groin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a problem for a punter. We'll see how he how his body feels. But, I mean, they've cut Townsend, so they must feel pretty good about the return of Brett Kern. Also, a lot of discussion about Randy Bullock. And we haven't really talked a ton about him. But I think what's interesting is every week that goes by, who's kidding who? I think right now, like, this is Randy Bullock's team. He's the kicker.
He's not going anywhere, in my opinion.
I don't even know why we bring up Sam Ficken. I've heard people bring up Sam Ficken. It's like, Sam Ficken? Like, who cares right now? Sam Ficken. I mean, it's not like Sam Ficken's got some resume of 15 years kicking in the league. Randy Bullock, his resume is much more extensive than Sam Ficken.
Sure.
This year, he's missed two field goals in between, 40 and 49. He's missed one extra point. Other than that, he's been perfect. He has not attempted a 50-plus yard field goal. But in between the, 30 and 39, he's perfect. Like I said, he's 3 for 5, 40 to 49. One extra point he's missed. He's 14 of 15. Overall, and you heard Craig Aukerman talk about his kickoffs, I think Randy Bullock has been just fine, considering how much stock they put into it, which is virtually nothing, that position coming into the season.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And he's been solid. I don't see him going anywhere. I don't think they need to make a change. I think this is obviously a position they're going to need to address in the offseason, whether it's Randy Bullock moving forward or somebody else. You know, we've had extensive conversations about that, but
yes we have.
So
but how do you, well, like, how would you go about it? Like, don't you just hope that he just kicks well?
Yeah,
and he wins the job, and you're like, what are you doing next year? Yeah. Why don't you come on back next year?
But I mean, they just, and I feel like we've all said this multiple times. They got to get out of the business of going year to year on the kicker. Just get it figured out.
But everybody wants to do that, though. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't. Like, we were just talking. That was my, this is what I know about the guy for the Jaguars. I've already forgotten his name. Is it Green?
Sure.
Matt Green?
Whatever you say, sure.
Nick Green?
Everybody wants to have the guy that you just pencil in. Don't have to worry about it. Boom. It's a really finicky position, and there's no sure way to go find the next guy. It just doesn't happen.
Well, they may have the next guy in Randy Bullock.
Well, maybe. Let's hope.
Sign him to a contract.
And they might be looking for – they might bring back Ficken in 3 weeks if it goes a certain way. It's just really hard to know. But I do think there's something to be said for a guy feeling comfortable. Like, if you stay there long enough and you feel comfortable and you're making the kicks, they will stay with you. I don't think anybody really wants to change kickers.
I don't think so either. I mean, and it's hard. It is hard. So I think ultimately, sure, they would love if Randy Bullock keeps doing this the rest of the way, and, he has a missed extra point from here to the end of the season and another, field goal here or there.
I mean,
I think they'll be fine with it.
That happens.
The thing they got to get out of the business of is what, Kaskowski did last year, and they've had trouble with, where they either miss, in a small sample, you miss big kicks, or you have, like, the three misses in one game business.
Right.
Like, you've got to get out of that. Like, it's really hard to recover in the league, when a league that's built around a very, very slim margin for error on, how these games are determined. And so you can't give away three field goals. They got to get out of that business. And so far, Randy Bullock has not had a disaster game.
Right.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. And this is pretty solid, so this is good. Good wood.
It's good wood.
If you go 9 for 11, that's solid. We know that the target area is about between 80 and 85%. That's what's expected of a kicker. Now, you do have to factor in if you're missing in bad weather, if you're missing from 55, that's one thing. You can't be expected to make that kind of percentage there. But by and large,
he's 85%.
Almost everybody in the league average is between, it's 80 to 85%, no question. And we've seen, as we've talked about a lot of teams have had some big misses here recently. Big misses. It's not an easy job, but the bar is set really, really high.
Plus, I love like his tackling abilities too.
Yeah, I do get nervous.
And his acting skills.
Was he the guy being held on the kickoff return, or was it a different guy?
Yeah,
it was definitely him.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And it was blatant.
Wow.
I could see it from my seats.
Like, think about that for the Bills. You lost the game because you held the kicker. Why would you hold the kicker?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
I didn't think it was.
No, it wasn't.
I don't think it was either.
No, it was. It wasn't.
I saw that reported, but I don't think it was him being held. It was a different guy.
I thought it was the fullback, 44.
It was 44. No. Yeah, I think it was 44.
I swore he was held by the
guy. No, well, he got blocked.
Tory,
what's his
name? Tory.
Yeah.
Whoever the 44, the fullback.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Okay, so what am I thinking of? There was a play with...
Well, Bullock was on that. He was definitely attempting to try to make the tackle. And
okay, maybe that's what
got blocked.
I thought he got...
And I don't know if that's when he hurt his shoulder, but he is on the injured list.
Yeah. It was the fullback. And it was. Nice. I mean, he was
being held. But, I mean, when I look at that play, that guy had built up so much speed. I'm hard-pressed to think that guy makes the tackle. Like, so why would you ever grab the jersey? Don't grab the jersey.
And just keep holding it. It's like, what did you think was going to happen?
But, like, don't make this move
with
your fist.
And by the way, the minute the fullback raised his arms up in the air, like, you better let go. Like, you're toast at that point.
Yeah.
Because he's letting everybody know, look what he's doing to me.
He's like, yeah, look here. Well, that's – and sometimes you don't get the call, but you certainly get the ref's attention.
Yep.
But – how can you grab a jersey when you're blocking? That's the one thing that if they see that, it's a flag every time. Don't grab the jersey.
Do you think the fullback was really going to get him on that?
No,
play?
I don't.
No,
I don't think
either.
He had any chance.
Tory Carter.
I knew it was Tory. I just couldn't remember his last name.
That was
not
an interesting
Troy
thing.
Carter, not Tory Holt.
That
Tory
was something that I thought was noteworthy, though. They had two fullbacks active. They had Blassingame and him. Yeah. And as the game wore on, McNichols clearly, with the ankle, was not able to play.
Nope.
He wasn't himself.
Well, they've been elevating Carter the last couple weeks.
Special teams, of course, is a big part of that. But I'm wondering now, how quickly is McNichols going to get back to what he was? I mean, you could see where it twisted. It was an awkward twist, and I hope it didn't kind of short-circuit his season. He's a nice story.
We'll have silly underdog picks coming up at high noon, but first I'm going to talk to you about the NBA being back at DraftKings Sportsbook, the authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. And the key to victory is a strong starting five. Everybody knows that. New customers, listen up. You can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do that, they take care of business. You win $200 in free bets. So why not make your roster Washington, 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 and Washington. That's a good starting five. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with the new same game parlays. All you have to do is combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that promo code 1025GAME and bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game. And when they do so, you win $200 in free bets. Use that promo code again, 1025GAME. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, the authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee. Only restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. We've got our NFL Game of the Week on Sunday. That's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Our game this week will be the Eagles from Philadelphia. They're going to take on the Las Vegas Raiders. Kickoff is set for 3:05 p.m. on 94.9, ESPN 94.9. So check that out on Sunday afternoon. If you're looking for a game, that is our NFL Game of the Week. Philadelphia, and Las Vegas. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD, products curated for life. Silly underdog picks coming up at high noon. Elliot Friedman in the final hour. We'll talk a little hockey as the Rangers are in town to take on the Predators tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game at 6, everything heard right here on these airwaves. So we were talking earlier about Travis Kelce. We had Amani Hooker on. Good conversation with him. How in the world? You can't stop Travis Kelce. How do you just make sure he just doesn't gash you, right? He doesn't have a nine-catch, 123 yards, two-touchdown game. Really, to me, that's the approach with Travis Kelce, the best tight end in the game.
Yeah, I mean, how do you...
Best pass-catching tight end, for sure. I don't know if he would be considered. Depends on what you're looking for.
I'd be curious of your answer to something we talked about earlier about tight end quarterback duos of all time and where you would put Mahomes and Kelce.
If you're just looking at receiving, because I think and I'm not versed enough to be able to tell you who the best all-around combination of blocking and catching is. That's where George Kittle gets a lot of his accolades, is because he's a very good receiver, but also he's a tremendous blocker. Kelce is more of the Shannon Sharp, that type of guy. Tony Gonzalez, you know, more pass catching first. Jimmy Smith,
Antonio Gates.
Yeah, well, Gates. I'd be curious to know what people thought of him as a blocker. He was a
Jimmy
little stockier,
Graham. More of Jimmy.
Jimmy Graham.
He wasn't a blocker.
What did I say? Jimmy Smith. I was thinking of the Jaguars
Jimmy Smith
guy.
Was a he was good a wide receiver.
Wide receiver. Yeah,
he
Jimmy
was a
Graham
good blocker.
Was what
either,
I was thinking
Jimmy
about.
Smith.
But. Yeah, best ones of all time. It's a good one.
Well,
they're right up there.
What sparked that is on NFL on their Instagram, they put, which quarterback tight end duo are you taking? And the choices were Brady and Gronk, Mahomes Kelce, Jackson Andrews, Rivers Gates, Elway Sharp, Carr Waller, or other. And we had a lot of votes. You know, people were saying, what about Matt Ryan and Tony Gonzalez? You know, they had a good stretch there together.
What about Dan Fouts and Kellen Winslow back in the day?
We had a vote for that.
Somebody said that on the text line.
I brought up Whitney.
I was trying to go old school.
Whitney and Romo, you know, they were pretty good together.
Somebody called in and said Peyton and Dallas Clark.
Good one.
Yeah.
Phil Simms and Mark Bavaro.
That got a vote.
That did get a vote?
Did get a vote.
See, Bavaro was a great blocker to go with. You know, he was not a fleet-footed guy, but he was a good pass catcher, but it's a huge, big, strong.
Well,
blocker.
And the offenses were just totally different.
Very
then.
Different, yeah. And
Aikman.
Especially
and
that offense.
Novacek got a...
Novacek?
Novacek.
I can't believe you're a Cowboys fan. You say Novacek?
I meant to say Novacek. I said Novacek earlier, and I don't know why I said Novacek now. But, yep. So, I just, like I said earlier, Darren, with when it comes to Kelce, I mean, you're not gonna stop him. It's just, can you slow him down? And if you don't slow him down, if he does hurt you, can you answer back? That's what the Titans are going to have to do. And they did. They did that. You know, we threw the stat out earlier that even down, you know, under Mike Vrabel, since he's been the head coach, that they, when trailing by seven or more in the fourth quarter, they've won seven times in his tenure. They've come back. And they're also good on short rests. So... You know, those stats, if you buy all that and believe all that, then you got to feel pretty good about the Titans going into this game. And the other one that we haven't even mentioned is Henry. What Henry does on short rests. That, you know, Vrabel's 6-2 in his previous eight occasions where they're playing on short rests. And Derrick Henry's had two of his best games of his career. The 238-yard, four-touchdown game on a Thursday night against Jacksonville. The two-touchdown game... 212 yards against Houston Sunday, in October of 2020. I mean, he's pretty good on short rest too. That was after the Tuesday night game against Buffalo.
Wow. His three touchdowns against Buffalo, he passed Eddie George, second all-time in franchise history in rushing touchdowns. He now only trails Earl Campbell by eight touchdowns.
Well, I'd say that he's going to be breaking that.
Well, the question is he going to be breaking it this year?
If he stays on the pace that he's on, yes.
And to break it, he needs nine. So that would mean Derrick Henry would end up with 19 touchdowns this season. Now,
in 17 games?
I think he does it. Especially if he has another three touchdowns.
Derrick Henry leads the league in rushing and finishes with 19 or more touchdowns. I know we keep having this conversation. And I know we keep identifying that the league has said, we love for this award to go to quarterbacks, but how in the world can you not have a real serious conversation about Derrick Henry for league MVP? Not offensive player MVP, league MVP. If we're talking about leading the league in rushing for a third consecutive year and 19 or more touchdowns, what are we doing here?
I'll tell you. I caught Jared saying this. He went into this long thing on Tuesday. And he said something. I was like, you know what? That's dead on. And that was the people that were at that game. Like, we're all buzzing about, hey, you know, what a great play. It was the 4th-and-1. It was a great back-and-forth game. And the Titans beat the Bills. Nobody thought they were going to beat them. But he said in 10, 15, 20 years, the people who were at that game were going to look back and say, I saw Derrick Henry. You know, that's the kind of performance that we're seeing now from him week in and week out. It's like he's becoming a guy that's historic, that's, you know, legendary. Even if the window gets cut off sometime here before we want it to, like, he's doing things that are just memorable. Like, yeah, these runs that he's making. You know, Teresa put it out there the other day. It's the fastest anybody has run.
I know.
It's the fastest anybody has run this year. He's the big, strong guy. He runs faster than anybody. It's the fastest run he's ever made. 21.8. It's the fastest he's ever run. Has he lost a step? No, he's running faster than he's ever run before. Like, we're talking like this Bo Jackson kind of mythical thing that you look back on. He's getting into that category now. Like, he's there.
Oh, I don't think he's getting into it. Yeah. He's already there.
He's there. Now it's a question of just how long he's going to stay there. But,
well, I admitted earlier, you weren't here. I said, you know, I never thought in my lifetime we would ever start with somebody else that wasn't named Eddie George when it comes to running backs in franchise history, especially running backs in this market since they've been here.
He's there.
That's what I told Jay. I said, not only do I know that answer is going to be, yes, it is going to be in my lifetime, because it's already here. Like, the answer already is Derrick Henry. And I never thought I would say that in my lifetime. I figured, you know, records will be broken, or, you know, a good one will come along at some point. It just won't be something that I'll get to see. Well, wrong. I'm seeing it.
And I totally get the, you know, Kyler Murray's doing amazing things, and those guys are going to be in the MVP thing. But my point is right now, he has to be mentioned with those guys. It's not a, hey, what about Derrick Henry?
The problem is
Derrick Henry
not.
Should be absolutely in that discussion. He is elevating the team. The team is going nowhere without what he has done.
Yep. All right, we'll come back. Third hour. We begin it with silly underdog picks. That's next.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.